So today we have very good fortune of having Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji with us, and she will be enlightening us on Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 22.16 onwards. Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Gurudev. Please take over the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear Ishwari Kumari Mataji. All glories to your services. And happy birthday again. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, entitled The Process of Devotional Service. Reading from Text 16 through Text 18. Text 16. Kamadinam katina katita palita durni deshas desham jata mayi na karuna na trapa no pashanti utsra jaitan atha yadupate sampratam labdha buddhis Vamayataha Sharanam Abhayam Mam Niyungshat Medasye. Translation. O my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. Although I have rendered these desires so much services, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. O my Lord, O head of the Yadu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am giving them up. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. Text 17. Krishna bhakti hai abhideya pradhan bhakti mukho nirikshako karma jogo gyan. Translation. Devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, but all are dependent on bhakti. Eishabu sadhanero oti tuchhabal Krishna bhakti bina tahe dite na pare phal. Translation. Without devotional service, all other methods for spiritual self-realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes to the devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana and yoga cannot give the desired result. Om jnana dimirantasya jnananjana shlataya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine. Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Very wonderful verses being read today, 16, 17 and 18. Glorifying bhakti above all else. And the first verse that we read today from text 16 That particular verse is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, you know, this particular verse is so amazing. It is actually almost like the translation. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning it in the purport, that this particular verse is almost like the translation of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Mahamantra, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is actually nothing but this particular prayer that we are begging the Lord to reciprocate with us. Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are saying, Hare, O energy of the Lord, O my Lord Krishna. You know, we are addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His internal potency and His divine consort, that they may engage us in their transcendental loving service. So this verse, you know, is very, very important, because it's a very beautiful meditation. And It's very long, you know, this, it's almost like an entire stanza filled with almost like 9 to 10 lines. It's a very big translation, but it is worth meditating upon. It is like a reflection, you know, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, our mind, you know, at least my mind always tends to wander, and I find great solace by meditating on this particular verse in my mind, you know, just by meditating on this verse. That as soon as my mind tries to wander away, I try to tell my mind that, you know, oh my dear mind, you've always, you know, wanted so many, you know, your demands for lusty desires have been unlimited. And, you know, we've really been fulfilling all those desires, but there is no cessation. Your desires have never said, okay, now it's enough. Yeah, fine. You have fulfilled all my desires. Now I have no more desires. That point of saturation never seems to come when we are satisfying the lusty desires that arise in our mind. And that is what this prayer is saying, that I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. But however, my dear Lord, O Lord of the Yadu dynasty, recently my intelligence has been awakened. The translation is saying, recently my intelligence has been awakened, and now I am having the courage to give them up, to give up my lusty desires. And due to the transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires, and I come to surrender at your fearless lotus feet, O Yadava. There's a very significant reason why Krishna is being addressed here as Yadava. You know, Yadava, we all need to understand that when Krishna was, you know, in Vrindavan, he is Vrindavaneshwar, you know, he is Vrindavan Chandra, he is Vrindavan Bihari. He is the one who takes pleasure, you know, and just for pleasure, he actually, just for protecting the Brajabasis, he comes and, you know, even sometimes, you know, once or twice a day, he would kill a demon. But the demon killing was not his main business in Vrindavan. His main business, Krishna's main business in Vrindavan, was to just seek pleasure, just to be pleasured himself, and just to give pleasure to all the Brajabasis. Of course, this is Krishna's, you know, bottom line desire everywhere, you know. This is the sole purpose of Krishna. That is what Krishna always keeps, you know, hankering for, that he is the supreme most pleasure, you know, obtainer and pleasure giver as well. So, but still in Vrindavan, the characteristic that is specialized by Krishna is that he is rasavaisaha. He is filled with all rasas. He is just, you know, so, he just loves to wander in the forest groves of Vrindavan. Just being Vrindavan Bihari, he is so satisfied. He's completely in bliss, completely in ecstasy. When he comes to Dwarka, when he comes to Mathura, that time it seems as if he's in a, on a mission. You know, he comes as if, you know, he, like the prince, the crown prince of Mathura, and then the, you know, when he becomes the king of Dwarka, you know, when Krishna would come out into his assembly and sit with all of his ministers and Lord Balaram, Krishna was like that millions of suns together, and he was, you know, out to conquer the entire planetary systems, you know, all universes. That was the kind of potency that Krishna would have when he would sit in his assembly in Dwarka. Such great majesty, such great mission that Krishna would have of, you know, how to safeguard the, you know, the residents of Mathura. Krishna moved to Dwarka. He constructed that, you know, beautiful city of Dwarka. And then he's always been, you know, like for protecting the Yellow Dynasty, Krishna has always taken very special care, you know, of, you know, defeating Jarasandha, may it be to defeat Jarasandha, or may it be to, you know, of course, kill Kamsa and the other demons. Krishna has always been very, very, you know, appropriate in that. So in this regard, to address Krishna as Yadava is very significant. That Krishna, when he is as Yadava, he is having a mission. He is having a purpose. So here we are addressing Krishna as Yadava because our mission is that we want to get rid of our lusty desires. That is our mission. And Krishna as Yadava can help us in fulfilling that mission. So this recently that it says in this translation, the very fact that it is saying, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. So this recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened, this has to be told by us. Not that if we tell it, you know, like during our initiation, if we have told this and said, yes, now I am awake, I want to surrender to my spiritual master. So I am surrendering to my spiritual master and accepting Krishna. Is that, if we just have said it at that time and never after that, then we would not be where we are. But this statement has to be told by us, told to our minds every moment of the day. Every moment, we have to keep reminding ourselves that, yes, I choose to give up my lusty desires. I choose to surrender to the fearless lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna, please kindly engage me in your devotional service. Please. This is how the Mahamantra works. When we can chant with this intensity, when we can chant with this kind of desire in our heart, when we are choosing every moment to focus and to hear the Mahamantra very attentively, to seek shelter of every syllable that we are speaking in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we can seek shelter at each and every, you know, syllable of this beautiful Mahamantra, then at that time, by choosing to surrender to Krishna's fearless lotus feet, we are begging Krishna's lotus feet to come and dance on our tongue. Just like when Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, Krishna, every step that he was putting on the hoods of Kaliya, he was just making Kaliya spit out all the poisonous negative emotions that Kaliya was filled with. Krishna was stamping and throttling upon them and, you know, making Kaliya spit out all of those negativity. So similarly, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if we can request Krishna, that Krishna please appear on our tongue and dance on our tongue and make us spit out all of these lusty and negative emotions so that we can purely chant out your holy names. We can purely call out for your mercy. And only then we will be able to truly relish the Mahamantra. You know, a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said that every pore of that devotee's body is chanting Hare Krishna. Every pore is chanting. Every pore in the body of that devotee is chanting Hare Krishna. That is, you know, that's how ingrained the Mahamantra needs to become with our existence. So that is this beautiful, beautiful verse, text 16, very important verse. It's a verse that, you know, we must try to memorize, you know, at least the English translation. Just, you know, try to keep it in our meditation, at least when we are chanting our japa. This is just from my personal experience that whenever I have, you know, meditated upon this verse and chanted my rounds, I have seen the difference in the chanting. Somehow, Krishna, as Yadava, he really comes and protects. He helps us, you know, achieve the mission of, you know, taking shelter at Yadava's fearless lotus feet. You know, how beautifully it is saying that the fearless lotus feet of Krishna. You know, that is something very, very Abhaya Charanaravindare. That by taking shelter of these lotus feet, we become completely Abhaya. So, very, very beautiful verse, text 16. Text 17 is glorifying the epitome nature of bhakti. That how bhakti is superior to karma, jnana, and yoga. The 17 and 18 is talking about the superiority of bhakti surpassing even jnana, yoga, and karma. And Srila Prabhupada very beautifully quotes the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport to text 18. He's saying this very beautiful verse, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshate Ahaitukiya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So, this kind of devotional service, which is so rare, you know, something, this kind of devotional service, you know, what this, even the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the process of devotional service, that this Ahaituki Apratihata devotional service that we are talking about so easily, you know, in Kali Yuga, was impossible to talk about even in Satya Yuga. The glory that we have received this mercy is simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. What Prabhupada has done for us, he has literally opened the doors of the spiritual world for us. You know, it is explained so beautifully by Srila Prabhupada that when Gauranga Mahaprabhu came, Mahaprabhu came directly from Goloka Vrindavan, from Shwetadvip Dham of Goloka Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu did not close the doors behind him because Mahaprabhu's associates, you know, his entire Sankirtan party was coming down with him. And when they were descending, they did not close the door of, you know, Goloka Vrindavan behind them. And Srila Prabhupada, by the movement of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has kept that door open till today. The door is open. It is accessible. And it is just by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we are getting to discuss such esoteric subject matters. These are unheard of, you know, to be discussed even commonly. You know how, you know, when we walk into a diamond mine, it's like you've found the treasure of life. So similarly, you know, when we are actually discussing this kind of Krishna Katha, this is like the diamond mine of spirituality. You know, this is only accessible to us, given to us simply by the mercy of Prabhupada. And, you know, I was personally yesterday, somehow I was just singing to my deities and I was singing this particular bhajan, Gauranga Tumi More Dayana Chariyo. Very, very beautiful song. This is written by Srila Vasudev Ghosh, very, very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasu Ghosh. And he has written such a this bhajan is so beautiful that, you know, it just shows that without the mercy of Mahaprabhu that we wouldn't be able to do anything. Forget even chanting Hare Krishna. Even this Hare Krishna Mahamantra has been given to us by Mahaprabhu himself. So this bhakti, the topics of bhakti that we are so, you know, casually discussing nowadays, it is something very, very rare, something very, very special, which has been handed down to us. And we must protect it very, very, very carefully and pass it on also. We must pass on this message of love of God. And as meditating on this translation of this particular bhajan, Goranga Tumi More Dayana Chariyo, and I thought that I would like to share it with everyone here, that the translation is that, O Lord Goranga, please do not neglect to show me your mercy. Making me your very own property, kindly keep me situated at the reddish soles of your lotus feet. Very, very beautiful. You know, don't just make me your property, my Lord. The Vasudev Ghosh is so beautifully saying that I'm just your property. And I just want to be a particle of dust. Where? At the reddish soles of your lotus feet. Ranga Charon. Ranga Charon means, Ranga means red. At the reddish soles of your lotus feet, please allow me to seek shelter, making me your very own property. The next verse says, with the intention of attaining your lotus feet, I have renounced everything. Now I have taken full shelter of your soothing lotus feet. So I've got no other way that I can even think of attaining any kind of perfection in this life other than seeking shelter at your lotus feet. And that's why I have given up everything and simply I seek shelter at your lotus feet. The third verse says that whether I am, you know, born in one great family lineage or another great lineage, I have abandoned all of them. And I just am appealing to you that you please mercifully keep me in your lotus feet, calling me your very own. Please make me your own. Aponaro boli, please make me your own. I have no other desire other than being your property. And the last line says, Vasudev Ghosh is saying that since I have tightly grasped hold of your lotus feet, please keep me here by always bestowing the soothing shade of your lotus feet. You know, when we just meditate on these very beautiful bhajans, when we try to sing these beautiful bhajans, they are nothing but a prayer. All of these bhajans are nothing but prayer, deep meditational prayer, that we are begging the Lord to please allow us shelter at his fearless lotus feet. So, if I have all of your permission, I would just like to end today's class with singing this particular bhajan and a special gift also for Ishwari Kumari Mataji. I thought it would be some small offering, like a homage from my side to you, Mataji, in your glorification of your wonderful services. I'll just sing this beautiful bhajan written by Srila Vasudev Ghosh. Gaurango tumi more dayana chari ho apuno.
Hare Krishna.
More dayana chariyo Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I am eternally grateful to you and your kindness to me. And I would take it as your blessings. Thank you so much, Mataji. And thank you for a very, very wonderful class and telling about that how important and how rare the subject matter is. That by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we all are relishing the subject matter in our daily life. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji. Can you sing the whole song, please? Is it possible?
Yes, of course. If it is okay for all of you, I can sing it.
Yeah, Hare Bol, Mataji, please.
I wrote it a long time ago. And then I was trying to find, but I couldn't find it. It's very, very wonderful.
It's in KK song. I can send the link in the Bhakti Sangha group.
And also, recording of your very nice voice. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. So maybe I'll record it and say, I'll sing it and record it and I'll send it in later. So we don't take up time here.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Very wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Komodiki Mataji, for your blessings. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Kalasada Mataji, all glorious to Paul Sas, Guru Maharaj. I have a question.
Yes.
And my question is, I understand that, how do I say this? We need to have I need to have this desire. Excuse me, I'm walking, so I'm a little out of breath. I need to have this desire to surrender to Krishna, and I always need to choose Krishna. But I don't really want to. I can see in myself that I'm faking it and I don't really want to. I do really want to enjoy. So how do I overcome that? And how do I truly make my desire become that?
Very wonderful question. Very wonderful question. See, the thing is that we need to understand that we have been going, we've been following the general flow of the current, We all have been doing that already for eternally, that's why we are eternally conditioned, And we have been doing exactly the opposite for all our life, not just in this life, but millions and millions upon lives previously. We have been doing the exact opposite. So to change that, we need to understand that it's not going to be easy. It's definitely not going to be easy. And therefore, we need to keep practicing. We need to keep association with those who are already practicing that as well. So when we hold each other's hands, then it is easy to walk uphill. It's very easy to walk downhill. Sometimes we just, even can tumble along and we could just slide down. It's so easy to go downhill. But when we have to go uphill, it's a challenge. It's a real, real big challenge. And it's exhausting. It's very exhausting. And especially when there's a group of people who are coming downhill, and you are trying to go uphill, it's more challenging. It's very, very challenging.
Yes, exactly.
It's very exhausting. And you can stumble and fall unless you are having like a very, very strong hold, and strong support, whom you're holding on to. It's very easy to, just go the other way and tumble along with the rest of the crowd, So it's very, very, very difficult situation. And that's exactly what spiritual life is. that we are walking uphill, going against the natural current which is coming downhill. You know, climbing uphill when there's no crowd is in itself very tiring. It's very exhausting. But imagine if there's that entire group of people coming down and you're going up. It's bad, you know? So that's exactly what we are fighting against. That's what we are up against, you know? And so therefore, we need the strong support of devotee association, of like-minded devotees who inspire us in our Krishna consciousness, who have these qualities, who are working on developing these qualities, you know? And then we also, we actually, you know, do a little sling around and we throw a sling to the top of the hill where our spiritual master is already there with all of our previous acharyas, and we just, you know, throw the sling, they hold on to it, and they're holding on to it. Our guru parampara, they're holding on to it. And by, you know, we attach the other end of the rope to our waist, keep climbing. Don't let go. It's work. It's a lot of work. But we just have to have faith in the association. Sometimes because the peak of the hill might be just covered in the clouds, we might not even see where the journey is ending, you know. So I can get all visual about it, but you get the point that it is not an easy journey. You know, spiritual life means, it is, Srila Prabhupada said, it is walking on the sharp edge of a razor. Little non-attentiveness can cause serious damage. So therefore, we have to be very, very attentive that how we are going, how we are climbing up, in whose association are we climbing up. So all of these factors help us in our smooth journey up the hill. Does this answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you very, very much. Especially
you're
when
very
you said
welcome.
the sling, and they're up there. Really touched my heart. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Mataji, for a wonderful answer. I have one question, that whenever I want to learn some Vaishnava song, I'm always confused that this song I should go for. Because all songs, if we see, all songs are very wonderful. So how to select songs and how to start taking them in our life and sing in our life?
Very sweet question. Well, the best is to just start with the most popular ones, you know. And the best way to go about it, the way I learned songs is, I'll just tell you what process I followed, is first, of course, I learned all our aarti songs, you know, that we do starting from morning and our evening prayers. And then, you know, try to learn some of the ashtakams that we sing on a regular basis. So try to sing those, you know, learn those, like Damodar Ashtakam, then Jagannath Ashtakam, then we have the Purush Ashtakam. You know, these are some of the very, very popular ashtakams, you know, apart from our morning and evening prayers. So try to learn some of those, and then you can move on to these kind of bhajans, which actually, you know, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada classics, Prabhupada sings, you know, songs which are mostly first sung. He mostly sings bhajans which are sung by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans are amazing bhajans, you know, so you can probably just try to, you know, start with those. And then you can, you know, if you are more attached to Gauranga bhajans or Nityananda bhajans or Radha Krishna bhajans, you can then start branching out, you know.
So Mataji, you are saying that that Sharanagati bhajan we should learn first.
It's very important, yes. Sharanagati bhajans are very, very important.
Okay. And Mataji, can you please suggest me some singer? Because the way I sing, it is like in lower note. I cannot sing higher note as Guru Maharaj sings, His Holiness Radha Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can try listening to Srila Bhaktacharya Maharaj. He has his entire series on Sharanagati. That's what inspired me to you know, listening to Srila Bhaktisvara Swami Maharaj actually inspired me to learn the Sharanagati songs. So listen from him. He sings at a very, very beautiful and a low note, you know, and very melodious, extremely melodious. Another singer, of course, Loknath Maharaj also sings at a little high note, but he's also, you know, amazing, amazing singer. I find Loknath Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, these singers to be very, very, very nice.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mataji. And I also wanted to ask, yesterday I was singing Radha Kripa Kataksh and your tune. So I was like thinking that once we would have class and Mataji, I would ask this thing. Where do you get your tunes? Those tunes are very new and amazing.
Well, the Radha Kripa Kataksh tune, my Prabhu researched on it. And it's actually a tune that we heard first time we heard Srila Loknath Maharaj singing it. And this was during, I heard him singing it during the Braj Mandal Parikrama one time. And Maharaj sang that particular tune. So it was like etched in my mind. And I came and told my Prabhu, because my Prabhu was not there. So I came and told him, and he researched on it. And then we were able to, you know, pick it up.
Wow, it's amazing. Even your Brahma Samhita tune is very different.
The Brahma Samhita tune was inspired by the Chaupati youth group. They have a very beautiful bhajan band, and they have sung that particular tune. So I got inspired by that particular tune from the Chaupati youth band team.
Mataji, if you could send a recording of one or two verses of Brahma Samhita, that would be helpful.
Yes, yes, I plan to do that this week. I'm so sorry I couldn't do it last week. But yes, I know I have requests for Brahma Samhita, for Guru Vashtakam. And now I'll also do this particular bhajan that we did today. So I'll send out these three. I'll try to do it by today.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. You know what, like, I really feel that if you make an album, it would be so, so good for all of us. If you could make an album of all the bhajans and songs in your voice, it would be so much good for all of us to always relish on those, at least listen to them every day.
We are working on it. All I can say right now is my Prabhu is working on it.
Wow, Hare Bol, Hare Bol.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have one query. Like, it is not like one. Like, while talking to a devotee, I had this with her, and then I couldn't guide her in a proper way. So I just wanted to consult you about it. It is like she is a very sweet devotee, and she is doing all her efforts because she is the only one who is following Krishna consciousness. Her Prabhu and daughter are there into it, but then she is the one who is doing everything. But then it might happen that she might have to work. She has taken a break from work now, and so she can do everything in a very proper way. But it might happen that she might have to work. So in that case, she is so confused that how will she be able to manage everything, and how will she be able to do everything in a proper way. So I do not know what to guide, because working will also be necessary for her, or not necessary right now. But if she has to, then how do we guide her, or what do we tell her?
Well, see, situations always change, you know. I mean, you know, this kind of work situations, or, you know, home situations, child situations, you know, there are different kinds of situations that always happen in our life, which kind of changes our daily course of action. And yes, the main thing that you can tell her for now is that, you know, when the time comes, you can give her specific guidance. But for now, let her focus on what she has. Let her build up herself so strong in her sadhana that, you know, even when she starts her work, main thing if she can focus on is getting up early, you know, completing her sadhana in the early morning hours, and then, you know, taking care of her family, doing her kitchen duties and all that, then sending her kids to school, then going to work, You know, it is going to be challenging. So she can use this time that she has as a training period where she can, you know, equip herself so nicely that she can become so attached to the chanting of the holy names that it would not be a challenge for her so much that she has to get up early in the morning and do her rounds, you know. If she can chant her rounds before she goes to work, and she can start working towards that from now, you know. So that is something that you can tell her, because that is the greatest kind of strength, even for those who have a regular job. The greatest kind of strength that they can get is their early morning japa, you know. At least finishing, not, I would not say even 16, I'm not sure how many rounds she's chanting, but not even 16 rounds if they're not able to do, if they're at least able to do major portion of it. You know, like I know many devotees who have work throughout the day, but they at least finish 10 to 12 rounds in the morning, you know. And then when they return back home, they finish the rest like that. So it is going to be a challenge, no doubt about it. But even when she is in her workspace, you know, she can, you know, in during her lunchtime, she can browse Vedabase. You know, she can, you know, look, you know, listen to some lectures online. You know, do so many things like that. So utilizing every moment is something that she can, you know, do. So it's, of course, going to be more relevant when you tell it to her at that time, because now all you can tell her, I think, is, you know, focusing a little bit more on her personal sadhana so that it doesn't affect her. You know, she can start doing it in the morning hours so that it, when she starts working, she's already used to it, kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Because she, like, we both wake up at 3:45 in the morning and then we are chanting. So she, but then again by 5 o'clock or something, she has to start with her packing and all everything for lunch. But then she, I think it will work out for her. Like maybe after some months to pass, she should find it. Because then her family, like somewhere or the other, always tells her that what are you doing. So she gets disturbed at times. She is very firm in her devotion, but I just help that Krishna helps her in all possible ways.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Any more questions?
Okay, if we don't have any questions, can we wind up the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'm so sorry for the delayed response, but Mataji, I have one question.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mataji, could you please shed some light on bhakti means devotional service, right? So what mm-hmm. part of it would faith come under? And
what part of it what? Come again?
Well,
what part?
So what part of bhakti is faith, like faith under?
Okay.
So,
okay. Wonderful, wonderful question. Indu, right?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes. I can always recognize you with your beautiful voice. Yes. So, very nice question, Indu. The way that bhakti develops, there are 9 stages of the development of bhakti. And the first stage is Shraddha, which is faith. So that's the first step to bhakti. Shraddha is the first step to bhakti. That unless we have a little bit of Shraddha, we cannot start the process of devotional service. So that's why even Lord Nityananda said, Shraddhavana Janahe Shraddhavana Jan. Oh, faithful people, you know, with a little bit of faith, you will be able to purchase Lord Chaitanya. So, Shraddha, this faith actually is the starting point of bhakti. And then, you know, so in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada explains it like this. So in the beginning, it's not expected that you will have 100% faith. No problem. You will not have it. No, none of us will do. None of us have 100% faith in the beginning.
But we start with at least 0.5%, 1%, 2%, whatever little percentage we have, we start with that. And then we make the faith grow. Once we start implementing the process, the faith automatically grows. And this is actually the case in everything, don't you think? When we, you know, want to go to an unknown home where we've never gone before, we put our faith in the GPS. And then when the GPS says, okay, make a right turn at Keebler Street, we see, yeah, Keebler Street coming at these many miles, we make a right. So our faith in the GPS increases, you know. So that is the process that Srila Prabhupada explains, that faith, when we start off, could be that we have very less faith, very less percentage. It doesn't have to be 100%. But then by the process that we keep following, the faith keeps also growing. And by the time we come to the stage of prema, then it is, you know, faith is rock solid. It's 100% faith. So that is the beautiful process of bhakti. So along with our bhakti lata bij, our faith also keeps growing. But we start, the starting point of bhakti is shraddha, it is faith. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Okay, so at what point does jnana come in? If we don't have little knowledge, how would we even have faith?
Okay. Very nice question. You know, pardon me?
Oh, Mataji, I don't know if this is a discussion for this call or not, but
it's related to bhakti, so of course I'll answer it. And so main thing is that where does jnana fit in? Mahaprabhu does say that never accept, you know, this process of Krishna consciousness blindly. He says, Chaitanya dayar katha karoho bichar. Bichar means use your logic. Use your understanding to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And once you do bichar korile paibe chitte chamatkar, then you will see the magic happening. Once use your analytical intelligence, using your logical intelligence, if you want to analyze the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can do so. So the fact that, yes, jnana is definitely important. It is definitely important. There is no doubt about it. But, therefore we need to study the scriptures. We need to study the books that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then we know, you know, okay, what we are doing. We are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why we are chanting? Because it is the recommended process in the Kali Yuga. Where does it say so? Kali Santarana Upanishad says so. So like this, our knowledge keeps increasing. And we actually develop more and more faith through that process. So the cultivation of knowledge, you know, it's not just dry cultivation of knowledge, you know. It is actually the cultivation of knowledge, you know, like how Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that in 4th chapter Krishna says how to approach a spiritual master. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. Which means that when you approach a spiritual master, you must render service to him and ask him appropriate questions. You should have, you know, asking of questions, because you should not accept anything blindly. Krishna recommends that process. Pariprashnena sevaya. Now, it's not just pariprashnena in a challenging way, but in a way to actually understand it. Really, why are we doing what we are doing? You know, not that we have some preconceived notions and that to prove somebody wrong or to prove the scripture wrong, I'm taking it like a debate, you know. So not in that sense, but really curiously trying to actually understand the imports of the Vedic scriptures. We are, you know, genuinely having a question-answer session. Yes, it's perfectly fine. Pariprashnena Sevaya. And then Krishna says, Upadekshanti te jnanam, the self-realized souls will then impart knowledge to you. How? Because they are the ones who have seen the truth. Jnaninas tattva darshina. They are tattva darshis. They are the ones who've already seen the truth, and therefore they can impart that truth to you, being pleased with your service attitude, being pleased with your genuine, you know, query for making spiritual advancement. So jnana will definitely come, but it should not be just, you know, dry mental speculation kind of, jnana. It should be for the purpose of enhancing our bhakti. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very beautiful answer. Mataji, so can I ask another one?
Yes.
Not
yes,
later. Okay. In this verse, it says we should pray to Yadu Krishna. So, mm-hmm. So we should pray to Mathura Krishna and Dwaraka Krishna. And that would help us from our fallen state more than Vrindavan Krishna.
No, that's not the purpose, you know. I just said in this context that why Krishna is specifically addressed as Yadava. It doesn't mean that, you know, we should only address Krishna as Yadava, you know, and we should only pray to him so that, you know, our missions will be taken care of. No, not like that. I was just talking in particular reference to this particular verse, that why, you know, Krishna is called as Yadava here, you know, specifically. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we should not, or meditate or call upon the Vrindavan Chandra Krishna, because Vrindavan Chandra Krishna is actually the all, you know, he is like this, you know, Shadeshwarya Bhagavan. He is the one who is the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Vrindavan Krishna. So, you know, Krishna, the beauty of Krishna is that whether you call him as Yadava, this is the ultimate understanding. Whether you call him as Yadava, whether you call him Rishikesha, whether you call him Vrindavan Chandra, whatever you want to call him as, he is Krishna. He will reciprocate by the intensity with which you're calling out to him. That's all it is. He is Bhava Grahi Janardhan. Whatever Bhava you have, whatever Bhava with which we are calling out to Krishna, with that same Bhava, Krishna will reciprocate with us. That is the beauty of Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you so much for your very, very insightful questions. Very insightful. Thank you. Okay, if there's no more questions, we can wind up.
Yes, yes, Mataji. Yes. 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 Yes.